Also, I have a new recorder device. So I hope that will help us as we get things up on the web. And today I just posted all the talks for the weekend retreat that we had. And also the talk I did on Sunday is up there. Thank you, Susu. And apologies for people who are listening in on Zoom on Sunday, because I know the first 3 minutes or so are pretty garbled as we were trying to figure out what was going on. But I think the next, after 3 minutes, is okay. I was listening to it, wondering if I have to record it or not. I decided I don't have to record it. So I think as most people here know, we are using as the practice period theme the Book of Serenity, or in Japanese, the Shoyoroku, talking about koans in each as we go along. We're not doing them in order by any means. But so tonight, I would like to bring a koan I've talked about before, but it really does bear repeating because it addresses one of the great sicknesses of our time. I remember when I was, I think it was junior high school, there seemed to be a great promise that technology would gift us with freedom and leisure time. In fact, there'd be so much leisure time that we wouldn't know what to do with it. This is going to be a big problem. What are we going to do with all this leisure time that we'll have? Well, I think as everyone here knows, that never came to pass. In fact, the opposite is true. We all have a schedule, things that we need to do. But really, what makes our schedule busy? What makes us busy and feeling rushed, hassled, stressed out, overloaded, perhaps even to the point of despair? And how do we take our life back? So I'll begin, just before I enter the koan, actually reading a poem by Mary Oliver. One I think is quite popular. It's from her book, Why I Wake Early. And it's titled The Old Poets of China. Wherever I am, the world comes after me. It offers me its busyness. It does not believe that I do not want it. Now I understand why the old poets of China went so far and high into the mountains, then crept into the pale mist. Wherever I am, the world comes after me. Well, that's the way it is. We make a cup of tea, and then suddenly the phone rings. Open our emails, and there's 30 or 40 new messages clamoring to be read and answered and deleted. At work, one mini crisis after the next, until at the end of the day, we still haven't really finished out all that we set to do. We usually do not intend to live our lives in a state of busyness, and yet it comes to us often in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. There's no escaping the busyness of our lives, at least it feels that way. We now expect this, and we even value it. Our culture places high value on productivity and busyness. If you're busy, then you must be an important person, a valued person. With busyness, you become the one upon whom so many depend and upon which so much depends. Family would fall apart, the team would be let down, the charities you volunteer for would crumble, the company would go belly up if you didn't work from dawn to dusk. If you didn't constantly keep your iPhone nearby, answering all the messages that come in. check LinkedIn, and of course browse tweets, X, to see what's going on. See, I'm hip. And really, don't we get approval from others when we look busy? I'm busy, I'm important. And if I'm important, then I can build up my self-esteem. And yet, we all know somewhere in the back of our minds, this is not really true. It's a comforting fiction, yes, one we share with those around us. We can tell our friends, our partners, how busy we are, how much we have to do, perhaps seek a little bit of commiseration, some sympathy. And maybe there's also a little bit of moral uprightness, superiority, right? The devil makes works for idle hands, and my hands are not idle. They're working away from morning to night on that laptop or whatever. We get approval for that. And if we don't get approval from others, at least the inner critic is silent, right? You're doing all this stuff, and your critic's not saying, well, criticizing you for being lazy. Wherever I am, the world comes after me. It offers me its busyness. It's so hard to refuse. The world is a busy place, a place of unending activity, constructing, deconstructing, and it calls for each of us to participate, to partake in the limitless, joyous ongoings on in this world. And yet, something goes wrong. And instead of engaging moment after moment, we find we are a step or two behind, following a frenzied schedule. Each new task interrupts the one before. Nothing we do seems fully complete. And our lives feel a little panicky sometimes. Ever wake up in the morning? The list of what you've got to do. Running, it seems, perpetually late. So in such circumstances, of course, the inner life goes unnourished. Or even worse, the inner life is suppressed. And as I said, and maybe in the dark of early mornings, like tomorrow morning, you may wake up, body tense, mind full of schedule, but the heart full of yearning. It does not believe that I do not want it. So I think Mary Oliver here in this short poem points out to the shouting all around us to do, to act, to take up one more and then more and then more, even though we're saturated. Wishing the world will change will not help. The world is always changing, yes. But busyness, like sickness, old age, and death, constantly arises anew. So we need to ask ourselves, how much do we ask for this busyness? How do we accept it? Is our desperate activity masking something like fear or an inner barrenness? If we're not soaked in busyness, is there a chance we're going to stop and listen to our own inner life? And that can be kind of frightening. What might your inner life be telling you? Will we be confronted by something dark and unsettling? Will we discover a dark hole, an ache that reaches across the decades? So maybe rather than take that risk, we embrace the myth of busyness as a virtue and frantically continue to accomplish more and more and more. And in doing this, we muffle the voices of our inner life, of our spirit. We damage ourselves. We stop growing in vital ways. This was also true of the ancients in China, in small ways. So the koan I'm going to pick up tonight is case 21. And in the translation we're using by Cleary, it's called Yunyan Sweeps the Ground. And it's about two monks in China during the 700s in the Tang Dynasty, and they're exploring the issue of busyness. Now you may think, what on earth? Chinese monks in the 700s being busy? Anyway, the koan goes like this. As Yunyan was sweeping the ground, Daowu said, "Too busy." Yunyan said, "You should know that there is one who is not busy." Daowu replied, "If so, then there's a second moon." And Yunyan held up his broom and said, "Which moon is this?" Well, the old Zen teachers, and actually the modern Zen teachers too today, for that matter, like to joke around a little. So here are two monks who happen to be brothers, according to the Zen lore, are working around their Chinese monastery, accomplishing the task they both know is really not the purpose. And as anyone here who's been to retreats know, as soon as the bell rings to end work period, we simply stop, clean our tools, put them away, whether or not the task is finished or not. And this practice helps us to become aware of being attached to our project. I'm going to get the whole sidewalk clean of leaves. And this way helps us to disengage from that and actually helps us to let go of the inner voice of the kind of to-do list. You've got to finish this. It's got to be this way. Just stop. The hour is finished. Imagine what it'd be like, say at 10:35, a bell rings. Ding, 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 ding. And you stop writing emails. And the remaining 8-10 messages that are your inbox go unread, let alone answered. Just stop. And most importantly of all, it's okay. You feel no guilt. The bell rang. It's 10:35. Time for tea. In this koan, Daowu sees Yunyan sweeping away, and he wonders if Yunyan is sweeping to get the whole path swept before lunch, a kind of hurrying the job along, which I do all the time, hurrying the job along to get it done before the next activity. And he decides to check up on his brother monk. So Yunyan goes up to Yunyan and says, "Too busy." He's saying, "Hey, are you here sweeping or are you off planning and anticipating, trying to get this job done before lunch?" That's what it looks like. When I look at my own mind, when rushing to get a job done, I realize that most of the subtle tension arises because I'm dealing with thoughts of evaluation. I've got to get these emails answered. People are depending on me answering these emails. Thoughts of achievement, perhaps, and at times thoughts of doubt. Maybe even worry about being good enough. You won't like me as a Zen teacher unless I've answered all the emails that people have sent me. So much inner mental commentary drags me away from the quiet joy of just working. Even emails can be joyful. Not often, but they can be. Something at that time, though, something very powerful and beautiful is lost. And the awareness comes kind of cramped. Yunyan replies to Dawu, "You should know there is one who is not busy." So even in the activity itself, there is stillness, calm. Someone who hears the swish of the broom, smells the earthy dust, and sees the golds and browns of the fallen leaves. And maybe working on emails, there is someone who hears the light tap of the keys, sees the words flowing across the screen. Kind of beautiful. I mean, I'd prefer sweeping leaves myself, but depends what you got to do. Perhaps the most important truth that Zen teaches is really the sacred and the ordinary merge in the present moment. Moment after moment of this life, your life, the great mystery is present. The truth of your own life that includes and goes beyond all the stories you tell yourself about who you are, what you are, all about your achievements, your status, your careers, your marriage, your children. There is something else there. In the midst of cleaning the toilet, changing diapers, making lunch, building a website, there is a space, an openness of the one who is not busy. Not busy, but just deeply present and aware. Well, Dawu replies, a little bit, probably scoffing, "If so, then there's a second moon." And this is where they kind of nudge each other in the ribs a little. How can there be all this activity and have stillness at the same time? Perhaps Dawu was wondering if his brother Yunyan is imagining a separate place, a calm place that is separate from his time of busyness. "I'm working hard now, but when I get home, I can relax. When I get home, I can relax, have a glass of wine, watch some TV." Ha. Huh. If that's our thinking, it's like two moons in the sky. Fiction. So Yunyan then holds up his broom and says, "Okay, smart guy, which moon is this? Busy or still? Busy or still?" He's kind of feeling there, almost like a tennis match, batting the ball fast, back and forth. Well, not really tennis, that's too fast. Pickleball. It's like a pickleball match. Talk, 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 talk. At my age, I think pickleball is the way to go. I love this answer. Yunyan answers with a question and pushes us even a little further. Busy or not busy? Which is it? Busy or not busy? Which moon is this? Are they separate, your busyness and your stillness? You must answer the question. And indeed, we must all answer the question. Busy? Still? Separate? Within this moment activity, can you both be doing and not busy? Can you heal the fragmented nature of your life between frantic busyness and stillness? In this koan, Yunyan and Dawu are both evoking the mystery that is beyond separation. The one who is not busy is not apart from the one holding the broom or scrubbing out the bathtub or changing the diapers. They are not two. The story of Yunyan and Dawu is telling us that our unexamined belief that our leisure time, our free time, is outside our busyness is not fundamentally true. I was thinking about this, you know, our usual state of mind is often one of multitasking. When I was teaching at SFU, and I would see my students like on the phone at the same time I'm giving the lecture, and I would sometimes and often they would say, I can do both. I can hear you and answer my text at the same time, no problem. I think they thought I was some kind of old guy, right? I can't multitask. I'm just unitask. But youth these days can multitask. And we jump from our past, present, and future, constantly juggling our to-do list while trying to accomplish our tasks. Often, aren't we caught up in the stories of the future or stories of the past, adding on to what we are doing in this present moment? Most of us do not need more. We need less. We need to turn our attention away from the storyline of our life, how good, not good am I doing, that kind of thing, and enter presence and just taste the ever-changing flavor of the present moment. And when we do so, then we can find the one who is not busy. So, turning away from the laptop, looking out the window, stepping outside. These are some ways we can let go of the busy eternal voice. Or maybe you can use the question to yourself. Which moon is this? We don't need to kill the busy one. Just recognize the one who is not busy, the one with vast open awareness that can be present and is present even when we are in the midst of our tasks. I think to do this requires a small act of courage. We have to risk that the emotions and voices inside telling us, hurry, 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 or disaster will come. It takes courage to say, I just won't listen to you for a while. I'm just going to wash the dishes and not plan out tomorrow's lecture. I'm just going to clean house and not think about the emails I need to deal with. Or maybe driving in traffic and you're planning out your whole day schedule. You can pause for a moment and say, oh, which moon is this? Oh, too busy, Michael. No need to plan out the day. Look at the leaves as you drive by. As Yun Yan was sweeping the ground, Dao Wu said, "Too busy." Yun Yan said, "You should know there is one who is not busy." Dao Wu said, "If so, then there's a second moon." And Yun Yan held up his broom and said, "Well, which moon is this?" Please, take back your life. Some of you have jobs and are working. Please take back your life. Some of you are semi-retired and busy. Please take back your life. And some of you are retired and busy. Please, take back your life. So I have a couple of questions for us to talk about in groups. And I think, of course, you can talk about anything that that has come up for you as I've talked here. But I'm curious, like maybe we can share, what is the busyness in your life? How would you describe the busyness in your life? And what helps you to just do rather than be busy? What helps you just to do rather than be busy? Or anything else that you want to talk about? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think here we'll divide up into two groups of 5. I'll let the Sherbrooke Street take care of themselves, maybe one group if it's a small group. And people on Zoom, let's see, how many do we have on Zoom? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Flo's got friends with her.
Oh, good.
Flo's got kids with her and stuff.
Okay, so I think if you could get them into two groups. Yeah. And Sherbrooke, if you guys would just close off, just to say a couple of words, whatever is said in the group, each person will get like about 2 minutes to speak. And you can... the rest of us will just listen. Please, when it comes your turn, just say your name and gender pronouns if you wish as you go around the circle. And whatever is said in the circle just stays there. Okay. And our Zoom cheating is going to put people on the Zoom into two groups there.
Did you say our questions yet?
Yes. What is the what is the busyness in your life? And what helps to just do rather than be busy? Or something else that you would like to talk about in here. Okay. So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you guys want to go to the kitchen?
Sure.
That'd be nice. You need to have chairs. Be comfortable. And 1, 2, 3, well, 5 will be here.
Awesome.